It gets darker than dark. And I say America's had a lot of light. America's had a lot of light and rejected a lot of light and shoved a lot of light to the side. And these young folk are growing up in a country that I believe we could say, behold, how great is the darkness. But that's okay. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. And that's what we want to try to communicate this morning. If the Lord will be our helper, it's my intention now not to be long. If it's up to me, I'll be about 30 minutes. Amen. But it's up to the Holy Spirit. And so you pray for us, the Lord, to help us get these truths across. We've made our way through the first 20 verses of this chapter. Let's pick up in verse 21. This is Jesus speaking now, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Listen to what Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. It's important what you hear this morning. The Bible said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, listen to this, it seemed like on the surface the Lord's confused about what he's saying, but listen to what he's really saying. He said, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. He said, if he hath not, then I'm going to take what he does have. And I want to get to that here in just a moment. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege to enter into this place. Lord, we look around. There's a lot of folk we dearly love with all our heart and is unable to be here this morning. We do pray that your blessings would be upon them. But Lord, we're here this morning, and Lord, there are some that have showed up today that need some light, and Lord, particularly need the light of truth, the light of your word. And Lord, I pray this morning as we examine these verses, may there be light that would shine about the light, and Lord, may we examine our relationship to it. Lord, may we examine our lives, and Lord, what we're doing with the light that we've been given. May, Lord, we be determined more than ever through this service and after this service and in days and weeks and months to come to use that you've shined into our life. And, Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you. Lord, I'm praying especially this morning for those that are here. Lord, as Tim taught this morning, they've rejected the light. Lord, the light has been shown to them. The light has been left on to them. But Lord, they keep running from the light. Lord, you have already explained, Lord, why that is so and why so many of us did that for so long and why others yet today remain in the darkness. And Lord, I pray this morning the light would shine to them again. They'd realize their need and that they would run to the Lord Jesus with all their faith. Lord, with all their heart, and Lord, I pray that they would be saved this morning. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I ask it again. Amen and amen. We've been stuck in Mark chapter number 4 as we've been examining the life of the Lord Jesus as dictated through the inspired hand and heart of Mark. The Spirit of God is laid upon his heart to write down another record for us concerning the Lord's life and ministry, his miracles. And at times, Mark doesn't necessarily major upon the messages of the Lord Jesus. But when we come to Mark chapter number 4, he is definitely interested in the messages that the Lord has preached in this section of his life. Mark chapter number 4 contains a series of 4 parables. The first, as we've been studying the parable of the sower, it was given to the great multitudes. We studied that. And we see that beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 9. And beginning in verse number 10, the disciples and a handful of that great multitude come to the Lord. And they're there in a very private way, in a very personal way. And they come for an explanation of that parable of the sower. And in privacy and in a personal way, the Lord explains the parable of the sower and then gives three other parables that are given and explained to this handful of a few. The parable of the sower, the first parable, verses 1 through 20, is a parable about receiving. I don't think you need me to say much about that this morning. We've spent the last 5 Sundays dealing with it and how that the Word of God is to be received into our hearts and into our lives in a very fruitful way, in the way in which the Spirit of God has desired and designed it to be. The parable about receiving, the parable, the second parable before us this morning, verses 21 through 25, we'll see is the parable about reflecting. It is known as the parable of the lamp or the parable of the light. In verses 26 through 29, you'll find the third parable. It is a parable about reaping. And there is a time of harvest that is to come. And we look at that on next Lord's Day or 2 Lord's Days or 3 Lord's Days whenever I preach again around here on the parable about reaping. And then the fourth parables, verses 30 through 34, the parable about relying. The grain of mustard seed, though it is small when it is planted, though it is the smallest of all seeds, it grows in a very large tree and a very large thing is produced in which the fowls of the air find refuge under the shadow of it. And it'll be immediately after that the disciples will sail across the sea, find themselves in a storm, and will be exercising these very truths from these four parables that the Lord has given to them in this chapter. Now, in this second parable, we find a message predominantly about our discipleship. And the first parable deals with our redemption and our salvation, our being brought into the fold of the Lord Jesus. And now these disciples and a hand few in which are found to be the good ground upon which the seed has fallen, they are interested in learning more at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I believe this parable is again predominantly about discipleship. I find here in the first parable, the Word of God is one of the main things. When you come to the second parable, you'll find the Word of God is the main thing. And so can we say this morning, the Word of God is essential in our salvation. Amen. The Word of God had to be sown into our hearts and into our lives. If you're going to be a disciple and the child of God that God has saved us to be, amen, it is going to take the Word of God to form us into what we need to be. And so in the first parable, the Word is seen to be seed in the field. Seed in the field. In this parable, we find that the Word of God is a lamp in a house. A lamp in a house. He speaks here about a candle. In our minds, we immediately picture a wax candle with a wick or two or three that have been drawn down through it. This is not the same thing the Jews would have had in mind. They would have had more in mind. A candle to them would have been an oil lamp with a wick and a floating device in which would fuel that wick and burn there as a light, a candle or a lamp that would be within a house. And this is not a strange emblem or a strange figure of the Word of God. David said in Psalm 119, verse number 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." David would sing the same psalm, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And so the fact that the word of God is light, and the word of God is a lamp, and the word of God is an illuminating source of truth and of Christ and of His law is very important to us today. In Psalm 43 and in verse number 3, the psalmist said, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." And so the desire of the psalmist is, I need the light of your word. I need the light of your truth to lead me and to guide me. Else I'm in such darkness, I do not know how to come to God. And so the psalmist again is making an allusion of the word of God to that as being spiritual light. In the book of Proverbs, if you want to look there, I'll be there and read it quickly. Proverbs 6 and in verse number 23. Proverbs 6 and in verse number 23. The Bible said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." And so the father is reasoning with his son and reminds his son, you're living in a dark day. You're living in the darkness of sin and the darkness of evil, lad. And there's all sorts of things that are going on all around that are blinding you to the light. Hey man, he reminds his son, what you need is light and truth. And that light comes from commandments, and it comes from the law of God. And it comes from that being applied to your life, the instruction and the reproofs that are necessary for you to know the ways of life. And there's such a downplay of truth in the Word of God in our day. There's such a disinterest in truth and in the ways of life. Hey man, and I'm not picking on these young folk this morning. Hey man, I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on us parents today. Hey man, but there is such a downplay, hey man, of the importance of the Word of God leading us in the way of life. Hey man, people think they know more than God knows. People think, hey man, they've got it all nailed down. They've got all the answers. They know how life ought to be. But the writer of Proverbs is saying to his son, "Son, listen. Hey man, you need the light, and the light and the lamp of God's commandments and God's laws. And don't be offended when you're reproved and instructed. It is that light and that lamp that is going to guide you in the way that you should go." Amen. Amen. Notice with me in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. I love this verse. I could quote it and probably get it right, but I want to read it to you word for word this morning. You say, "Preacher, all that's Old Testament, Psalms and Proverbs." But, amen, listen to what we have in the New Testament. Amen. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That is a word of truth, a word from God. Amen. And it is sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Amen. Peter is saying, you need to understand. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, they had the light of the law of God. Amen. They viewed the commandments of God to be a lamp for them to guide their life. But Sam, what Peter is saying is that in the day that we're living now, amen, we have a brighter light. Amen. We have a more sure lamp to depend upon that, Amen. We do well that we take heed unto. Amen. You see, the word of God is not given, amen, to us to, amen, to pick and choose what we want out of it. It is just simply like everything from the pages in this book, every chapter, every verse, every book within the book, every line, every jot, every tittle, amen, every truth is given of a light that we ought to be ready and willing and desirous to take heed of. Amen. It'll keep you from a lot of dark days. Amen. It'll keep you from a lot of dark times. Amen. You're going to face enough darkness in this world, enough night times, enough times where it feels like, amen, darkness is creeping in. Amen. But I'm glad to report to you this morning that in these dark days we're living in, amen, God has given us a little bit of light to help us in His Word. My friend, that light does us no good, according to what Peter said, if we do not take heed to, amen, this as a light, it shineth in the darkness. And so the emblem of the Word of God being a light and being a lamp, being a candle, amen, is something that is predominant throughout the Word of God. So many other verses we could quote or look and read to you this morning. Now, what I want us to focus in on, coming back to our text, and leading us to the thought that I want to give you, and you got to get it. You really got to get it, all right? I have been known, amen, I have been known, amen, to go down and rip people's cell phones out of their hand if they're not listening. I have been known to embarrass people, and I try to not to do that, amen, in these days. But I'm telling you, what I'm preaching right now is very, very important. Are you young folk listening? It's very important. I ain't playing games this morning. Truth is important. Truth is absolutely important. I am tired of watching young folk wreck and ruin their lives because they have no regard for the truth.
Amen.
Amen. The light of God's Word is given us as believers to aid us in being the light of the world. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and in verse number 15. Ye are the light of the world. A city, amen, that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Amen. That light is shining. That light is reflecting. And that's what He has saved us to be. Amen. To be the light of the world. Amen. We cannot walk as children of the light. And we cannot be the light of the world. Amen. And we can read Ephesians 5 and in verse number 8. Amen. Without a proper relationship to the light of truth, you will never be able to be the light of the world or walk as children of the light. It is important. It is important that Devin, we understand that book has all the light that we need. It will shine to us, and God may shine it through us. Amen. 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 And so without a proper relationship, the light of truth, we're in trouble. The fact of the matter is, God, and Brother Tim said this morning, amen, and I believe it with all my heart, he said, you cannot be saved until God turns the light on. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
God turned the light on for me one day. And I'm glad He turned the light on. Now, you young folk, y'all will have no idea what I'm talking about. But you old people, y'all will know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember the old radio commercials, Motel 6 radio commercials? This is Tom Burdett, and we'll leave the light on for you. Amen. Can I say I'm glad God has left the light on? I'm glad that God has left the light on. Amen. In this parable that the Lord is giving, He is saying, and I'll deal with it more in a moment. Really, the first point's what I really want to drive home. Amen. But He's saying a light has been brought. amen, into the darkness, a light has been brought in the nighttime. A light has been brought in the house in the time of need. And he's saying it's shining, and you put it on a candlestick, and you put it in a place of elevation. And he said it gives a light unto all that are in the house. Amen. And Jesus begins to explain this parable that he gives in verse number 21. And here's what he said. He said, now be careful. Take heed, be careful. I am giving you light, and light of truth is being shined into your life. Now, if you will take that truth and do something with that light, Jesus said you will get more light. Why is it that some folk are stuck in darkness? Because they ain't done nothing with the light that's been given to them. They've not done anything with the truth that has been shown to them. Why is it that sinner folk are still lost today? Amen. Though the light of the gospel has been shined unto them. Amen. Because they've not done anything with that light. And so they remain in the darkness. But Jesus said, if you'll take the light and you'll embrace the truth, then understand this, there'll be more light of truth given to you. But here's what Jesus said. If you don't do anything with that truth you've been given, that light will be taken away from you. Now here's the thought I want to preach for a minute, Brother Jack. Amen. I'm doing the best I can. Amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, John. You better use it so you don't lose it.
Amen.
You better use it so you don't lose it. You see, the Lord is all about the light. He's all about giving us the light of truth. In this parable, the Lord is emphasizing that, and I believe there's truths for sinners, but in particular, amen, to those that claim to be children of the light, amen, those that have been saved to be the light of the world, amen, those that have been brought out of darkness, those that have been rescued from the night of sin, amen, that Jesus is saying, amen, unto you it is given. That's why he's speaking in parables. Amen. Parables had two purposes. Amen. To both conceal and to reveal. Amen. The crowd that had been given light, then rejected the light, and did not embrace the truth, they had a mad friend been given parables so that truth could be concealed. Amen. They didn't use it, so they weren't losing it. Amen. Christ was keeping them in the dark. Amen. But this crowd of disciples, this crowd, amen, of children of the light, amen, Jesus is saying, now that you've been good ground and been saved, and now that you're born again, amen, be careful what you do with the light of truth. You can use it or you will lose it. There are people, again, there are sinners. I'm sure today that the Lord could have saved a long time ago.
Amen.
That will never get saved because God gave them light and they did not use that light to lead them to the Son of God. And because they did not use it, they have lost it. There are children of God today, people that are saved, that have been born again, that they have not maintained a proper relationship of the Word of God and the truth and the light. And by the way, the light of truth, the light of the Word of God. Amen. You may say, well, I don't like it, but it's shining again today. Amen. It shines every time that you pick it up, every time you read it, every time you hear it talk, every time you hear it preach, the light is shining. And thank God for that. But, amen, the light is still left on for us today. Amen. And Jesus is saying, you better use it. Amen, or you will lose it. What are you doing with the light you've been given? What are us parents doing with the light we've been given?
Amen.
I'm in a time in my life where I'm examining myself more and more, and the more I examine myself in the light, Amen. I realize there's so many ways in which I could step it up today and use the light of truth I've been given better or more. Amen. So that I don't lose that I've been given.
Amen.
Amen. And while we have burdens for our young folk, our children, and some of you with grandchildren, some of us getting ready to have grandchildren, it's our desire, amen, that they walk in the light, that they not live a life of darkness, that they don't live their life in the night, amen, but that they would walk in the ways of God and in the truth of His Word, amen, but I would say to us parents and grandparents, amen, are we being a reflection of using the light we've been given? You can use it, amen, and you got to use it so you don't lose it. Let me give you a few thoughts this morning quickly. I want to deal with, first of all, the privilege of the light of truth. The privilege of the light of truth. And He said unto them, watch it now, is a candle brought? Is a candle brought? Now, when we think about candles and lamps and lights, amen, the inference there is, John, that there is a need for light, that there is darkness that is around. Amen, does that make sense? We don't light a candle when the sun is in the middle of the sky. Amen, in the middle of the day, in the middle, friend, when the sun is beaming down, we don't, amen, light a candle to light our way. There's no need for it. Amen, but it's when the sun is setting, it's when the nighttime is settled in, it's when, amen, darkness is all around, there is a need for a candle to be brought out. Now, Jesus said, is a candle brought? Amen. I see there the privilege of the light of truth. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The word brought. Amen. It means this, motion to or towards any person. Amen. A light is brought to where somebody is. Amen. Can I say this morning, I'm glad that, amen, it was 26 years ago, a few days ago, this past week. Amen. That God brought the light into my life. Amen. I'm glad I've been privileged that the light did shine. Amen. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the eyes of this, amen, of those that are lost in sin, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel of truth. And my friend, I'm telling you today, amen, if you can hear truth today, and you are hearing truth today, amen, I'm not giving you my opinion. When we talk about the gospel, and when we talk about salvation, and when we talk about what Jesus did on Calvary to save us, amen, we're not giving opinions and religious imaginations. Amen. We're giving you the unadulterated truth of the gospel that Jesus came into this world, and that Jesus bled and died and was buried and raised again the third day, and in that is the only hope of salvation. Now, just in the simple last 90 seconds I was preaching, there's been enough light. There's been enough light, Dylan, that has been given in this place to save the entire world.
Amen.
Do you realize there are people will never hear what you just heard?
Amen.
There are people living in lands that will never have the privilege, amen, to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll never hear it uttered. They'll never hear it whispered. They'll never hear about what He did. They'll never hear about what they are. They'll never have the privilege, amen, to have the light of truth that is shined unto them. Amen, but you have. You have been given a great privilege in that a candle has been brought to you. And I say, as Tim told this morning, that when Jesus came, He came to be a light. Amen. In fact, not just any light, not one of many lights, not a light of multiple choice. Amen. He is the light of the world. And John 1 said that He is the light of life. Amen. And I'm telling you, He shines today. Amen. I'm glad He shined in my life. I'm glad, Brother Larry, somebody preached Him to me. I'm glad, Brother Jason Kendall wondering was still shining the lay. I thank God my daddy kept shining the lay. I thank God I've been around some churches that, amen, when I was young and dumb and ignorant and uninterested, amen, somebody kept shining the light. Kept shining the light. That's a privilege. Do you young folk understand how privileged you are? Say, I hate this. I hate this. I used to be there. But 26 years ago, thank God, the greatest day of my life took place. Amen. And after 26 years, the light has not grown dim. The light has not become less important. Amen. It's become more important. Amen. And the darker the day seemed to get, I'm thankful for the privilege for the day the light of truth was brought. See, truth has to be brought. That's why we're living in a day of relative, they call it relative truth. Now what they mean by that term, Betty, is this: you have your truth and I have my truth. How stupid can you be?
Amen.
They've sold changed truth that 1 + 1 is no longer 2 if somebody says it ain't. That being a man is not, amen, is not being male, being a woman's not being female. They have so watered down truth in so many areas of society in this day.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you where that starts. I tell you where that darkness starts when they began to reject the privilege of the light of truth being given to them. The minute you began to resist truth, the minute you began, amen, to put a damper upon that light shining and changing your life and giving you, my friend, the greatest privilege, a young person, an old person, a child, a parent, a grandparent could ever have, amen, is to have the light of truth brought to them.
Amen.
The minute you began to resist it is the day you began to stay in darkness. The privilege of the light of truth. Ain't you glad that truth shined? Ain't you glad today? Now some of y'all ain't, and that's okay. Amen. I can't make you count it a privilege. I can't make you love it, and I can't make you, amen, I can't make you embrace it. I can't make you change anything. Amen. Amen. But I can still keep the light shining. Still shine the light, Bob. The light must still shine forth. The light must still shine forth. The privilege of the light of truth. Do you realize beyond the gospel and as children of God, amen, the privilege we have to enter into a church like this, amen, where the truth is not watered down. There's no shade thrown upon the truth. Amen, it's just given as pure light. Amen, you know about the light of holiness. You know about the light of living right. You know, amen, the light of truth that says here is the way, walk in it. Amen, that lamp to our feet and that light on our path. Do you realize the privilege that you have to be exposed to the light of truth?
Thank you.
I ain't much of a preacher. I didn't pass homiletics. Some of y'all don't even know what homiletics is. That's where they teach you how to preach. I failed that class. Or passed by the skin of my teeth. I ain't no great orator. I'll tell you what I desire to be, young man. That is a lifter up of the light.
Amen.
You young folk, listen now. You can live in the darkness of this world if you want. There's a man of God that loves you with all his heart. He's going to keep shining the light, and shining the light, and shining the light, and giving reproof, and given instruction, because the commandments of God and the law of God is the light that we are privileged to hold in our hands. God gave it to us for it to lead the ways of life.
Amen.
I'm glad there's some men of God kept preaching. I'm glad there's some churches, man, friend, that kept the lead on. Amen. Them spiritual Tom Burdett's, them spiritual Motel 6's. Amen. Left the lead on. Amen. I am what I am today because, amen, somebody brought the lead to me. I'm not in the dark. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's given me light that I can know how to live in an ungodly world.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm dealing with some folk in these days that profess to be saved. And I'm not saying they is or they ain't, but I'm telling you, they profess to be saved. That if they are saved, they have covered up the light of truth they were privileged to hear. And they're living in utter darkness. And I'm telling you, if I could explain to you, there's no way I can put it into words how broken they are, how wore out they are, how tired they are. You want to know why? Because they're living in darkness.
Amen.
They took the light of truth that should have been counted a treasure and they threw it to the side like a piece of trash.
Amen.
Y'all listening? Life is not a Disney movie.
Amen.
Life is not a sitcom.
Amen.
Oh, I feel some preaching coming on.
Amen.
Life is not a soap opera.
Amen.
God gave us the breath we breathe and the life, amen, that we have in these days that we're upon the face of the earth. Amen. And He doesn't want us trying to live, amen, like we're in some kind of movie. Amen. Life is not a movie. Life is real. And God wants the light of truth to be what we embrace to live our life by. Amen.
Amen.
The privilege of the light of truth. Number two, notice in the parable the placement of the light of truth. Jesus said, now when somebody brings you the light, you don't put it under a bushel or a bed, do you? No. You got to be smoking crack, man, to need a lamp and a light, and somebody bring you light, and then you just cover it up. No, you need that light. Is that right?
Amen.
Jesus said, do you put it under a bed or under a bushel, or do you put it on a candlestick?
Amen.
Some people bury the truth that they've been given. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said you're putting it under everything. So, because you think if you just put it under a bushel and under a bed or under whatever activities of life that you have going on to distract you from the light, that you're getting away from the light. That's how people a lot of times treat the light of truth. They bury it. Jesus said you don't bring out a light to put it under something. You bring out a light that you can put it on a candlestick. You know what that speaks of, Mary? You know what that speaks of? That speaks of a raised, elevated place.
Amen.
You know what we need young folk to do? Miss Julie, what we need young folk to do and what we need your daddy to do is to raise the light of truth in our life.
Amen.
Give it a place of priority.
Yes.
Jesus would say in the other accounts where this is recorded, and by the way, it seems like this matter of what we do with the light and a candle and a lamp is something Christ spake of on several occasions, different occasions in His life. He would use this same statement, what are you doing with the light? Are you putting it under a bed? Are you putting it under a bushel? And Jesus said in another place, He said, do you put it in on a candlestick that it may give light unto all that are in the house? In those days, these terracotta lamps had the olive oil and the wick, and they would light it and it would burn. They would not put it under a bed. They would not put it under a bushel. They had a particular shelf set up in a room they would set it on, and that lamp would give light to all the room. It would dispel the darkness. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all are a good quiet crowd this morning. I like it that way. We're living in a day. Here's what I hear every time I turn around. I hear somebody saying, "I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I just don't understand." Could it be you don't understand because you ain't put truth up on the top shelf of your life? I ain't talking about your truth and what the world says is truth. What has come straight out of the Word of God, have you put it on the top shelf and it can shine light into every area of your life? Where have you placed the truth? Hey man, you're being privileged. Here's what I know. Here's what I know, Brother Bob, Brother Jerry. Here's what I know. Everybody here this morning is having the privilege to have light of truth given to you. Even you and 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 you. Everybody's getting the same privilege.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's the question. What are you going to do with it?
Amen.
What are you going to do with it? You going to bury it? Or are you going to raise it up and let it brighten the soul and the heart of your life? I'm telling you, the reason people are in so much trouble today, they have not placed the light of truth on the top shelf of their life.
Amen.
Then when they're in the darkness, and I'm not complaining, my ministry, I love my ministry. I love trying to help people no matter where they're at. When they get in the dark and their life's coming apart and the wheels are flying off, They start saying, "Well, help me put the pieces back together. Help me, help me." And you say, "Well, what do you tell them?" I tell them the same thing I've been preaching for the last 20-something years.
Amen.
Give them the same light of truth. It doesn't change. It had never changed. And it ain't ever going to change. And if they want help in the darkness, they'll have to do what they have forbidden themselves to do and take the light and put it on the top shelf and raise truth as a priority in their life.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I think I've preached most of you out and I'm not done yet. Number three, we see the privilege of the light of truth. We see the placement of the light of truth. But notice, as Christ begins to expound on this, there is the precaution about the light of truth.
Amen.
The precaution. He says, and we could talk about the power of the light of truth, verse 22, that that's been hid. He said it's going to be manifest. That's what light does. Light is powerful. Light is powerful. You know why you don't want the light of truth? You know why you don't want it? Jesus said they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. They don't come to the light because they don't like how the light makes them look. They don't like how the light makes them feel. Jesus said they ain't coming to the light, amen, till they get sick of themselves. They're not coming to the light. But that don't change the power of the light. Oh no. The light's gonna shine whether you want it to or not. It's gonna shine through a saved godly mama. It's gonna shine through a saved godly daddy. There'll still be a man of God somewhere preaching. Amen. I'm telling you that, amen, you can run from it. You can run to the ends of the earth. Amen. But God will have somebody, amen, standing there shining the light, shining the light, shining the light. You'll never outrun the power of the light. He said it manifests that that's been hidden. It uncovers that that has been concealed.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you today, there's power in the light. Notice the precaution of the light about the light of truth. Here's what Jesus said. He said, now, if you got ears to hear, everybody reach up on your head and do this right here. Got some ears? Amen. Some of y'all got bigger ears than other people. If you got ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Now there's two precautions. The first is found in the way Mark records this. Mark said, here's what you better be careful of. Be careful what you hear.
Amen.
Can we be real for a minute this morning? There are so many voices going around in this world.
Amen, Pastor.
And I love these young folk. I'm hard on them sometimes. I love them. I love them with all my heart. I love you, young man. Amen. I love this boy. Sometimes we're hard on you, but can I let all of us in on a little something? These young folk have so many voices whispering in their ear, whispering in their heart, whispering for their attention, whispering to drag them down some road that is contrary to the light of truth. Now here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, take heed what ye hear. Here's what I want to ask us all today. What are you listening to? You young folk, what are you listening to? Who has your ear today? So, I got a buddy, and we're just gonna have a time. Well, what are you listening to that is going to bring any eternal and spiritual value to your life in the days we're living? I'll never forget, God saved me when I was 17 years old. And I'm winding down. I got a whole lot of things I want to say. I'm winding down. But we're talking about be careful what you hear. What you hear. Who you're listening to. When I was coming up, I was a basketball junkie. Me and my brother, who is just younger than me, many of y'all know Dave. And amen, Dave, he's just special. We love Dave. But growing up, that's all we did. All we did was play ball. We'd eat ball. We'd sleep ball. We'd bounce a ball in the morning, bounce a ball before bed. We would play basketball, snow on the ground. And so many days, we would shovel snow off the ball court so that we could play snow. And I love that. I live for that. I live for that. And was good at it. Amen. Some of these SMYR kids come in and they talk about how good they are at ball. I'm going to do this and preacher, I'm going to school you. And then we get out on the court and they go home crying to their mamas and daddies. Amen. Because they ain't as good as they think they are. And it had become something I was living for. And I was good and people was telling me how good I was. And I wasn't going to make the NBA like so many think they're going to make. And so, I mean, it's just a small fraction that ever do. But I was living for that. I wanted to go to college and play ball and was working to that end and was going to do that. So really, really, I had it all mapped out and all planned. I was going to go to college, play ball. My wife had tested this. I was going to go to college and play ball and take physical sports therapy classes and get my degree and all of that. And I had my whole life mapped out. My senior year, I had a brand new basketball coach. I'll never forget him. Nick English. Coach English. Coach English, he come in and we had all our meetings and he loved ball and he wasn't against ball and we was going to have a good time playing ball, and he began to develop relationships with us. I'll never forget, he set me down after practice one day and was just talking. He said, tell me about what you're going to do. I said, oh, I'm going to go to college and play ball. He said, well, you're pretty good at ball. He said, but what is God telling you to do? Are y'all listening? I had a lot of people tell me, go for it, go for it, go for it. There's a man set me down and said, what's God say? I hadn't even given consideration to that. Are y'all listening? I'm glad I had somebody in my life that I could listen to that would shine a little bit of light of truth. I had a lot of folk, but that's just one instance. Brother Gerald, it's just one instance of a man that spake up in my life, that God put in my life, that God put in my life, that God put in my life. I said that God put in my life to tell me something I needed to hear. I didn't need to hear what all the gurus were saying. I didn't need to hear what, amen, all the buddies on the ball team were saying. I didn't need to hear what all the guys on the other teams were saying. I didn't need to hear what all the newspaper clippings were being wrote up and what they were saying. I didn't need to hear all of that. I needed to hear from somebody that was going to point me back to the light of truth.
Amen.
Take heed what you hear. Because what you're listening to greatly affects the power, the light of truth in your life. In Luke's account of this, Luke 8 verse 18, here's how Luke put it, take heed how ye hear. Not only be careful what you hear, but be careful how you hear. May I say, if you got an ear to hear, then you ought to hear. I've watched them do all sorts of things. I didn't start preaching yesterday. I ain't been at it long as Preacher Wells has, but I've been at it long enough now, Sister Wells, to see, have seen a lot of things. I've seen them come in and put them little foam earplugs in their ears so they didn't have to hear.
Right.
I've watched it all. And I've done it long enough to see what happens to those who do not take heed how they hear. We're to listen intently. We're to listen willingly. We're to listen and say, you know what? I need this. Amen. So I don't need this. That's why you're in the darkness. And you ain't even reached a place yet in your life. And there'll come a day you'll be sitting in great darkness wishing unto God you could come back to this service and other services where the light was being shown that you could do something with the truth again. Amen. Take heed what you hear. Don't listen to this world. So I've done heard the world. I like what the world's saying. The world is a liar. The devil's a liar, and all the foul spirits of hell that have been unleashed upon our nation and our generation, they are lying, seducing spirits designed to drag you as far from God as they can.
Amen.
Be careful what you hear.
Amen.
Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. I grew up in one of them homes like most of y'all are growing up in. But Tim, it wasn't an option. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If the church was having revival meeting, we was there all the time. If they was having chitlin' fry on Saturday, amen, we was going to church. That's just the kind of family I grew up in. Daddy wanted to keep us around the light. I remember hating that when I was young. I hated it. Are y'all listening, you young folks?
Amen.
I hated it. John, I absolutely hated it. I hated it with a passion. When God saved me, all of a sudden I didn't hate it anymore.
Amen.
I did not hate it anymore. You say, how have you got where you are? And I'm not nowhere near where I ought to be. And I'll be the first to admit that. And I look at the man in the mirror some days and I give him a lashing. You big dummy. Amen. Anybody else do that?
Amen.
What are you doing?
Amen.
But I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
And I can see where God has brought me a mighty long way.
Amen.
Say, how does that happen? See, back there 26 years ago, the light of the gospel shined. And the blinders fell off and I realized what I was, and for the first time I quit running from the light of truth. I embraced the light of truth and I came into eternal life. The condemnation left, the sin was forgiven and washed away, and I was made a brand new creature.
Amen.
And for 26 years, God's been given a little more light.
Amen.
Along the way, there's been some times that light that was shined, I didn't like it very much. And I try to stove up on it a little bit. The Holy Ghost say, what are you doing? I have to say, Lord, you're right. Truth is right. The Word of God is always right. Embrace the light of truth. And God would say, okay, I'll give you a little more light.
Amen.
And for 26 years, the relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father is, He gives a little light, I take a little light. He gives a little light, I take a little light. And thank God I take the light He's given and reflect that light, hopefully, to those that are around me. So what are you doing today? Well, we know I'm preaching, but if you want a term to put on it, if you want an explanation, an illustration, I'm shining light today.
Amen.
Shining light. Shining light. Amen. You get a little, you embrace a little, you live a little, and God gives you a little more. And it's been that way for 26 years. God's been given a little bit of light at a time. A little bit of light at a time. But Jesus said, oh, that one that hath not, that one that's not doing anything with the light they've been given, Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. You are going to have that light taken away.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I could go to some verses in Luke chapter number 11. There's a woman that stands up in the Lord's earthly life and says, blessed are the paps that did give thee suck, the womb and the paps which did give thee suck. Jesus looked at her, and I think He was rebuking her. He said, blessed rather are they that hear the word and obey.
Amen.
He immediately goes into the lessons there that Jonah went to Nineveh and preached the word of God, and they heard the word of God. The light of truth was given to them. They embraced it, and God saved an entire city. Amen. Then He goes in and He says, now what you need to understand, the light of the body is in the eye.
Amen.
He said, now if you let light into the eye and let that light permeate, He said, then the whole will be light. He said, but if you close your eye to the light, He said, you will stay in darkness.
Amen.
If you go to Matthew chapter number 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, Sam, here's what Jesus said. He said, after you've been given the light and you ain't going to live the light and obey the light and put the light to shine not only in your heart but out of your life, Jesus said, the light will become darkness.
Amen.
Here's what Jesus said. He said, now when light is shined and then the light is turned off, behold, how great is that darkness.
Amen.
Have y'all ever been in a room in the night, the light's on, you reach over and you flip the light off, the moment that light goes out, how black everything gets? What happened? There was a lot of light, there was some light, but when the light was taken away, immediately the power of the darkness settled in. So my question is this, are you using it or are you losing it? Is there light? Are you living the light? Are you living what you've been given? Oh, somebody needs to write that down. Are you living what you've been given? Are you using it or are you losing it?
Good.
Sinner friend, Jesus died for you. If any of you young folk are not saved, I want you to know Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. He gave His life and His blood. He was buried. He was crucified. He was hung on an old rugged cross. He was abandoned by His Father, betrayed by His friends. He faced Gabbatha's whipping post and the crown of thorns and the beating and the nails and the riven side so that you could be saved. He was buried and 3 days later got up from the grave so that you could know the free pardon of sin that only comes by the light of that very message. What are you doing with that light? Have you embraced that light? That's where it all begins. That's where the light is initially, we're privileged to have it brought to us. How many of you that are saved, What are you doing with the light you're being given today? What are you being done? What are you doing with the light that shines all around you in your Christian home? What are you doing with the light that shines Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? What are you doing with the light that shines when other men of God come by? The light that Joe Branch shined here on Wednesday. What are you doing with the light that God has given you? You can use it or you're going to lose it.
Amen.
Amen. Say, boy, that's a strong message. It really ain't. Amen. It's truth. It's truth. I'm done. That's long. That was more than 30 minutes. That was about 55 minutes. I want you to know today, the Lord takes very serious the giving of truth in their life.
Amen.
I take it serious. I'm put up with a lot of things. Brother Tim, boy, he said it so good this morning. There are times you feel like your preaching is in vain. Why? Because you get up and you shine the light and people are so disinterested in it. Amen. I've got to a place in my ministry that doesn't offend me personally anymore, but it does offend me for the gospel's sake. Nobody's ever got saved not listening to the light of truth. Nobody's life's ever been changed sitting there going, I'm not going to hear. And I love you today, but you got to have the light of truth shine into your heart. And then you got to use it so you don't lose it. I'm done. And amen. Let's do an invitation. I wasn't going to, but let's do. I know that's long. I don't know. I don't know if that's made any sense or not. It made so much sense to me studying it out. And it makes a lot of sense to me in my life. I've seen so much. I could illustrate so many ways personally and in others' stories and testimonies today about what I preached, positive and negative. Positive and negative. We just got to do something with what we've been given.
Amen.
Amen. Are you using it or are you losing it? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. She's playing. If you need to come, this altar's open. Some's already making a move now. You do something. Maybe we just need to get on the altar and say, Lord, help me never to abuse the light of truth. Help me, Lord, not to live a life where I'm not using what I've been given. Amen.